I'm always too close to the mic.
Don't. So you're not. You're never too close. You're never
really?
Too close.
Is this okay?
It starts off with just one hit, then it takes off, then there's millions. It goes on until it snowballs, till someone takes a fall. A fake space race, Nazi moon base, to that strange pic of the Mars face. The CIA killed JFK, I'll bet the next one tops them all.
Yes, we are live with our second episode of Tin Foil Hat. I want to give a shout out real quick to the awesome band Tread Lightly for that great song, actually called, believe it or not, Tin Foil Hat. So original. I really appreciate you guys coming in. Everybody loved the episode last week, so I decided to do it again. Everyone loved Eddie Bravo. He was excellent. He's just not going to do the podcast all the time. But I have amazing guests who all want to come in and talk about it. So again, let's talk about it. Now, I'm going to say it again. I have a couple friends of mine on Twitter like, I was listening, I wanted to just start a script. It's not an Alex Jones podcast. It is literally, let's have fun, let's talk about what's going on, and let's not have a heart attack and be screaming at everybody. So joining me, I had talked to her before, and she kind of got into it, and I was really excited about it. And she's on an awesome channel on YouTube called Snarled. And she hosts the Lucha Underground on AfterBuzz. Please welcome Rachel Evans.
Thank you so much for having me.
Did I get it all right?
You got it all right. I was actually surprised.
We should have bag of bets it and seen if...
I would have not bet against you.
Thank you. Because you don't know me enough to understand that.
Yeah.
But I am classic at fucking up names. Mostly because I am so nervous about fucking the name up.
Is so hard to fuck up, though. Rachel Evans is
that's a
really
good
hard name.
It's very simple shit.
Yeah.
The Lucha was probably the hardest part of the whole.
Lucha's
and snarled, maybe.
Snarled. It's not a word that you say often.
It's not. Yeah. Why is it snarled? And what is snarled about when we'll get into everything?
Snarled is a channel that we created to be a platform for female creators. And,
ooh, I like it.
I like it, too. And I talk about conspiracies and serial killers and cults and Satan. And I play video games. And I host an advice show. It's really fun.
Get closer.
Oh, get closer.
You're not talking.
Oh my God.
Yes. Look at that.
This is the first time anyone's told me to get closer to a mic. I always eat the mic.
Get closer. Ooh. Get closer.
Okay, great. Yay. Hi, I'm here.
So, I want to start off the show. I'm not going to do this. I would love to do this a lot more. I think it's going to be a harder podcast for me to book all the time. But I will like, and the one thing I always want to ask. I got a couple questions before we start getting into your stuff.
Okay.
First thing I always want to ask the guests is, why do you think people don't want to believe, quote unquote, conspiracies?
Because it's hard.
Why?
It's hard to wrap your head around things that you can't see. I feel like the same reason people don't want to believe in, or people don't believe in religion is the same reason people don't believe in conspiracies, although conspiracies are a lot easier to believe.
But a lot of people do believe in religion.
Well, it's just a different religion. It's,
okay.
I mean, if conspiracies are hard to believe because it's basically saying everything that you're told, everything that you know, everything that's comfortable isn't real. And that's okay. You just have to be okay with that. And especially, I feel like that's the hardest part. Yeah, I'm sure many people can believe like, okay, yeah, I bet that the government is controlling something that I don't know. Like, that's the extent that they're able to grasp. But then beyond that, just being able to live inside of that is terrifying.
Right.
Because you have to wake up and go like, okay, I'm just never going to know about XYZ. and I just have to die.
And I just, and it's better to, I always find it so interesting when people don't want to believe in conspiracies. I'm like, it's free and it's fun.
I believe in anything until it's disproven.
Yeah.
That's my thing. So, Jesus to me, that was disproven. So I like there's, but there's certain things that like, you know, if I can't say no definitively, then I'm going to say yes.
Right. I always say, could it happen?
Sure.
And my one friend tries to split hairs with probable, impossible, or implausible.
Sure. Yeah, that's fine.
That is fine, but it's very much splitting hairs. And I feel, again, and I don't want to get too repetitive, but it's just like I feel the big issue is that people can't put themselves, see themselves doing it. So it's very hard for them to see others doing that.
Sure. I think once you abandon the idea that man is inherently good,
yes,
then you can start really full, like really grasping the idea that conspiracies are real.
If you sit down and you think about that, like we're all cavemen,
yeah,
and we have caveman still, we have caveman wiring,
mm-hmm,
and what we're fighting over, I heard a pop. What just happened?
Ooh.
Is it recording still? Should we start it over?
We don't have to start over.
That's good.
I mean, I don't know how to do any editing.
Okay.
Oh, it will start right there?
Something like that. Let's just hope it
doesn't
happen again. Well, yeah. It's probably the government.
Dude, they know.
Honestly, they do.
Know. Sorry about that. It was a glick. Well, another glick. Is it you moved it and now it's getting weird?
I've done nothing to it.
I don't know nothing about nothing.
Yeah, me neither. I'm computer retarded!
Me too. Which is bad because I work in YouTube.
Yeah.
You would think that I would know something.
Do you work at the actual place?
No. I have my own office.
I think that's so awesome.
YouTube?
I think it's just to be able to... Okay, are we going?
Yeah. Oh, hi.
Okay, we're back. Sorry about that weird glitch. I think it's weird. But I think what I was talking about is that people don't realize we're all cavemen and we're wired. And our wiring is get all the resources, you know, be an alpha, the best alpha you can, lead the pack, get the resource. And the games that we play, you know, they're on different levels in terms of like on the streets versus in an office in Washington, D.C.
It's very believable that people don't want to believe in conspiracies because humanity was built on the back of conspiracy, was built on the back of elitism and secrecy, and withholding information. So if we build a whole society that is bred to believe one thing and you're told that one thing over and over again in school, after school, your parents, everybody that you know is telling you this one thing, then you're going to fight it if somebody shows resistance
right,
to that
right,
theory.
Right.
So, I mean, it makes sense. I get it.
But it's very interesting.
It's comfortable.
It is comfortable. Another question I want to have for you is why, like, I love when women love conspiracy theories. I think it's sexy as fuck. I really love, like, I do a joke about, like, if we're hooking up and you start talking about Building 7, I'm, like, all in.
You're done.
Why does it seem like it's more of a, in particular, white male-dominated genre than it is anything else. Why do guys, especially white guys, my friend Ryan, who listened to the last one, he had a good talk about how he feels that, and I don't always buy into this, but maybe I can be wrong, that as a male, as a white man in America, you have so much going for you. And it's just your mind wanders and you have to find something. And therefore you start looking and chasing shadows and ghosts. And he didn't say all that, but I'm kind of paraphrasing what he said. And that it's, you know, that as white males, we don't have a lot to worry about. So we're chasing stuff.
Sure.
Which in a weird way, I understand it because I say that about millennials in that they have so much at the that they have to have a war to fight.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I get that. I don't know. I've never thought, you know, I've actually never thought about gender divides within the, like, conspiracy community. I was thrust into conspiracy theory in, like, a very abrupt way.
How?
I am part of an organization called Mensa, and I got...
Oh, you're a Mensa?
It's very annoying, I know. But
I know, I find it great.
No, I was placed in Mensa at a young age.
Okay.
Probably 14, I think. I was 13, right after my bat mitzvah. Yeah, I was 14. And I became instantly privy to things that I shouldn't have known, and like systems that I shouldn't have seen, and hierarchies that I shouldn't have been exposed to
within
at that
Mensa.
Age. Within Mensa, that I immediately was like, oh, there's shit they're not telling me. Like, the way that they talk to each other.
Hold on. Hang on.
Pro Tools sucks. I know that because I've heard somebody say it.
Yeah. I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know how many times it's going to happen.
I promise. It's the government.
They're listening.
I promise.
You know what? Let's just keep going. And I'll pull the audio from the video file.
Oh, that makes sense.
Best quality, but...
Well, I'm okay with that, but is the conversation going to be like.
No, not on this.
Okay.
Cool.
All right, so we're back again. Sorry about that. You were privy to information through your being in part of Mensa.
Yeah.
And you were realizing that there's more shit going on.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like they were telling me things. It's not like you go to your induction and then they're like, by the way, aliens are real.
Right.
But you go to your first function and you see these people working and existing and speaking to each other in a way that you've never seen people interact before, especially me at that age. And there's something that right when I went into my first meeting, I could tell that the way that they look at you, there's something that they're not telling you.
Right.
And like, there's something that they know that you could know one day if you like stay the course.
If you stay, show that you're going to play ball.
Exactly. And I did for a while because I was too curious. And then when I started to notice things in my life that were becoming affected by my involvement with Mensa, boots scooted quickly.
You left Mensa.
I mean, I just don't pay my fees anymore. I guess I'm still.
What is fees for Mensa?
It's since I was in from a very young age, it was like I had one fee of like $1,500 a year.
A year.
Yeah, and then it goes up, like as your tax bracket and as you get older. But yeah, that was my fee. That's all I know. And.
Crazy. Yeah. Earlier, I this is technically my third podcast today. Mm-hmm. I just love to talk, and it's never enough. And the first one I did was with a guy named Murray, and he does road stories. He was telling me he was on the road, and he told me a couple things. One, everywhere he stopped, he was doing military stuff. Everywhere he stopped, some of their gigs would get cut short because who they were about to entertain had to take off to go do a mission.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, we're going to Somalia, you know, Somalia. And he's like, I didn't know we were in Somalia. And then he was on the news. He was, you know, he'd watch the news on where he's going. He'd watch the BBC and, you know, what's the other one? The Arab news organization.
Al Jazeera.
Yeah. That was here for a short time and whose fatal flaw was not changing the name of their channel.
It was hard to take for a lot. It was not palatable for a lot of people.
Because they hear Al Jazeera, Al Qaeda. That's what they heard. They associate with it. They
Which is wrong, but...
It's totally wrong.
Yeah, but...
But it was great news report. Mm-hmm. It was like what everybody pines for.
It was. I mean, it could have been something really great and informational, but that's why it was stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can never know too much.
Oh, so they're like, okay, we got to pull the plug on this. You're telling everybody too much shit.
See, this is the problem.
Wow, that's deep.
Well, I fully believe
deep,
it.
Go.
Like, that's the problem with believing in conspiracy theory, because once you see it, you can't unsee it. So once you believe it, you can't unbelieve it. Like,
Right. If
something is telling true information, if something, because there's what we see, our news media is not. It's not real. It's
but you might call it fake news.
You would definitely call it fake news. And I mean, it starts from every aspect of government and it leaks into what we see and what we know. And so if there's something that's off brand, like Al Jazeera, who isn't being informed by police informants, is not informed by the government in any way, is like independently funded, that has the opportunity to give you some real information, that's going to be shut down in a second.
And that's a big problem. They probably couldn't find a lot of advertising. People didn't want to advertise because corporations didn't want that message out.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was saying what Murray was saying when he's down the road. He's watching these other news orgs, and he was hearing so much about drone strikes and the hits. And, you know, it was so interesting watching Oliver Stone's whole doc on the untold story of American history and how he really painted, like, Barack Obama as not Black Jesus, like everybody wanted him to be when we elected him. And I voted for him the first time, thinking there was going to be a little change that maybe I fell for it. And it's this weird kind of...
Who gives a shit? I mean, that's
Okay, we'll get into that. Yeah. I'll talk about you. But it was just like, it's what you're saying is like the control of information.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting. Now, I was going to ask you about Pizzagate and all that stuff, and you're like, fuck that noise. I don't care about that.
Because, I mean, yeah.
You think it's all, like, what your exact words were, it's all it's misdirection?
It's all shadow government. I have no, there's no doubt in my mind that what we see as government officials, what we see as elected officials, are just puppet people.
Yes.
They don't make any real decisions. You think that... in our eyes, the greatest country in the entire world, do you think we're going to know the names of the people who are actually controlling this country? Of course not.
And do you think is actually?
I have no clue. I have no clue. And that's the thing about this kind of stuff is that, like, I don't have facts. I just have, obvious to me that they would never, like...
Like, I thought it was, like, there was a lot of talk about the Rothschilds. But I heard about Glencore, and then I'm like, it's not one group; it's a bunch of groups of people who own different parts of the big empire.
Yeah.
You know, where they're like, these guys own the banking, but these guys own the infrastructure, and these guys own stuff like that.
I mean, you know about the like Federal Trading Union, and like the like America was founded on masonry.
Yeah.
Our system of highways and the city planning is based on like a Masonic ideology that is meant to confuse us. Like,
really?
Yeah. The Masons, like every founding father was a Mason.
Okay.
So that's the oldest cult. I mean, the oldest American cult. That's not true worldwide whatsoever. But that's how America was founded. So obviously we're founded on secrecy, and there's no way that the things that are actually going to affect us, you're not going to know the face of the person who's doing that. And I don't know who that person is. It's the shadow government, which is a crazy thing to say. I know. But, you know, there has been reports from people who have left Area 51 who have said, without a shadow of doubt, that's...
No pun intended.
Thank you. There is a shadow government, and we are being informed by interdimensional beings.
Okay.
Which is where it gets kind of like, ooh. But, like, you know, I believe it.
So you were telling me that you don't believe, you don't really care about Pizzagate because you think it's a distraction, let's say, from what's really going on, and that you're into a certain type of magic. Is that correct?
I'm into chaos magic, for sure.
Please explain to us what chaos magic is.
Well... First, you have to abandon your ideas of what reality is completely.
Okay.
And then once you've torn down every respect of, like, society and what you've been told or taught, then you can start to, like, explore the ideas of chaos magic.
Okay.
Which basically is the idea that what you see in front of you, what's tangible, what's physical in front of you, is all part of... a greater consciousness.
Okay.
And you are, it's kind of like Satanism in that, like, you are
working... Did Satanism get a bad rap?
Oh my God. I mean, satanic panic is a very real thing. Satanism
does
not mean...
But did it get a bad rap in the sense that everybody labeled it as this horrible thing?
Yeah.
When maybe it isn't what it is. It just, they put a devil horn guy and associate with him, and then when, like, the opposite of McDonald's, where you're like, you see a clown, you know it's a happy thing. You see the fucking demon dude, now it's a horrible thing.
It's all iconography. Satanism is, I consider myself a Satanist.
You do?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Wow. Aaron, how do you feel that? How's your Christian values feel about being so close to someone
who loves
Satan?
But here's the thing,
I'm an atheist.
You are?
Fabulous. That's what Satanism is. It's contrarianism. So you're not saying I believe it. Like, the devil is not a figure in Satanism.
It's not some dude downstairs going, come on!
The devil is a Judeo-Christian construct.
Yes, I agree with that.
Whereas Satan is the idea of opposing. Satan in what language? Mother God, fuck. What is
Nobody listening to this will ever know.
Okay, in a language.
Yes.
Satan means to oppose. So it's just saying, because the story of the devil, quote unquote, fallen angel, whatever, is that he basically was like, oh God, actually, the love that I feel from you, I feel from my fellow man. Why can't I just recreate that as much as I want? And God was like, but I'm the one.
Right.
I make you feel good.
Yeah.
It's like that dude in Sister Wives. Like, why do you get all the puss? Like,
yeah.
Share the love.
Everybody
can
pushed.
Feel good.
Everyone should be able to bang these cafeteria ladies.
Exactly.
Huh?
The sister wives should be banging each other.
Yeah.
They need to find love.
Yeah.
So that's all Satanism is. It's finding individuality within a global consciousness, within a united consciousness. You understand that we're all connected, but you say, no, I make decisions as long as it doesn't hurt me and as long as it doesn't hurt somebody else. I make decisions that are uniquely right for myself.
Wow, that's a very interesting thing to say. That's so, like, that's really what all I talk about is, like, I'm cool with you doing whatever the fuck you want as long as you're not hurting another
yeah.
living being, not stealing from anybody, not hurting the elderly, or not fucking kids, basically. It's not harming children.
That's harming.
Pretty much can do whatever you want.
And that's what kills me about Satanism, too, is that everyone thinks that it's, like, ritual child abuse, but one of the pillars of Satanism is that you never harm mentally, physically, emotionally, you never harm a child because they're the ones who are going to understand like what humanism is as opposed to like religion or
when
whatever.
You hear, okay, and I know you don't believe in this, but when you hear that Pizzagate is they're into Satanism and you hear that like Jay-Z and beyond, like that's a big thing in rap and hip hop now, is that there's supposedly this occult part of it where it's like, you know, the whole blood, what's it called when somebody dies and you sacrifice them?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Blood something?
No.
Blood ritual, it's called a blood
wedding or something
like that.
That's not what it is.
Where like they die, you know, somebody, you sacrifice somebody and then you get all your dreams come true.
Some shit.
That is not Satanism.
That's not Satanism.
That is just some weird shit.
Just like extremists are not Muslim.
Yeah.
That is not Satanism.
Okay.
So you can, of course, you can take, there are people, Crowley, Aleister Crowley is an evil man. And he took the idea, the really lovely and contrarian and kind of weird freak idea of Satanism and made it something really dark to play up on the wants and desires of very rich people.
So basically what they did with the Nazi symbol, which was a peace symbol.
Right.
From Native Americans and
Satan.
Back in the day, they turned it into a symbol of hatred.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Satanism is just about freedom of expression and celebrating individuality and celebrating the idea that anything that somebody else is saying to you can. I tend to be very solipsistic, which means that the only thing that exists is what's directly in front of me.
Okay.
So that is kind of the idea of Satanism. You can take things at face value and you internalize them and you create from that what you think is right.
Which is so amazing because I talk about that, like, stop watching the news.
Yeah.
Stop watching the news. Just deal with what's in front of you.
It's just noise.
To the best you can. Because let's say a bomb gets dropped on, there's nothing you could do about it.
I've abandoned all sort of, like, it's bad because, like, social actions are things that are tangible, and where I know in my heart I don't feel like I can ever truly make a difference because what's happening, what's in play is so much larger than me or you or anybody.
Yeah.
But there are certain things, like, you know, the, like, fight for Planned Parenthood. Like, there are certain things that I truly believe
yeah.
in and will fight
right.
for because it's the right thing to do and it's something I believe in. That being said, I do believe that everything that we see and everything that we're being shown is carefully constructed and shown to us.
Yes.
And it's all, I believe that this, like, is the beginning of a new renaissance because it's the abandonment of hope, which is the start of any great renaissance. Like, if you, like, think about the, like, art renaissance from, like, ancient Greece and whatever, and Rome, that was philosophy renaissance. But, like, you abandon all hope And so community can build from that and then create an entire new way of thinking. And that is not on accident.
Yes.
That's given to us.
Right.
And we think that we have some sort of coup. We think that we're having some sort of like societal revolution.
You think even the revolution is controlled?
Yeah.
Why would they want a revolution?
We're sheep herders. They're sheep herders. We're the sheep. Because it ushers us into a new school of thought. It demonizes a new enemy, and it distracts us from something that's actually maybe going on.
Is it almost like when the creator in the Matrix is like, we gave them the perfect life, and they weren't happy with that, so we had to give them some bullshit and something to get angry about,
yeah.
And then they thought they were alive?
But nothing, I don't believe that anything they do is for us. I think it's for the advancement of either science or self-interest or for the interest of a very select few. I don't think that anything they do is like, well, we built this society for them. Like, why can't they be happy? I don't think they give a shit if we're happy. They build something for us so we can stay out of their way and they can do what they're going to do and develop what they're going to develop with. Because we're distracted by Donald Trump. We should be distracted by, like, there's certain things we should be distracted by, and I'm for that because okay. I like that hierarchy.
Okay.
I crave authority.
Right.
So I don't mind living within that construct.
Okay.
But I know it's there.
You know it's crazy.
Yeah.
No, I get that. I get that. Now, do you believe, you said it's the distraction aliens. Is that shadow group aliens?
Oh, very possible, yeah.
Aliens are controlling everything.
I don't think aliens have the capacity to, like press the nuclear button, but, like, I definitely 100% believe that aliens are already working with, and I sound crazy
when I say this,
but I do believe that aliens are already at Area 51 just because of confirmed reports from former workers of, which are well-documented over the course of many, many, many years.
I was on Joe Rogan's podcast, and we were talking about it, and I go, yeah, he brought up Area 51, and I was like, yeah, and they sued the government, yeah. And he's like, no, you don't work at Area 51 and sue the government. I go, dude, they did sue the government. And they looked it up. The people who worked at the base that didn't exist sued the U.S. government.
Yeah.
Like, how crazy is that?
Yeah. I'm like, it's trauma. Like, there's so many reports and there's so many confirmed, and from distinguished people, not from like nut jobs, from people who you can look up and you can see their papers.
What's going on in Area 51? I've heard a lot about it.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to get into Edgewood. I wanted to get in because I think it just lives. Let's start with, I want to get to Area 51 towards the end. Because that's been kind of explored a little while. You brought up some stuff. Like, I really want to do this podcast because I just want to hear all the different theories that are out there. I really love it, and I love to hear it. It's like, I do podcasts about things I love. I rant, I do a sports podcast, and I have this one. And you brought up Edgewood for me, and I did a little research on that. And it's like, it's very interesting to me because it goes to show me that when people can't believe that certain people do false flag stuff, you know, that the government would never do something like that. I go, there's a history of this.
Yeah, there's time and time again.
I've never heard of the Edgewood, even though I've heard of like MK
Ultra
and all that stuff, you know. And if you can get into real, like, what was Edgewood for our listeners who might not know what it was?
So Edgewood is very similar to MK Ultra, only MK Ultra, they were doing LSD testing on volunteers to try
which
to
was the whole idea behind Stranger Things.
Exactly. 11 is supposed to be like a subject from MK Ultra to try to create a super soldier.
Yeah.
That didn't work. It was just a bunch of people on acid screaming at walls. And so they were like, oh, shit, oops. And then after World War II, Edgewood, which was a government facility, it was an arsenal center. So they would create, they did do some really great things. They did chemical and psychedelic warfare testing. But because of that, they created the Kevlar vest, the bulletproof vest, and they created a early iteration of cancer treatment, of chemotherapy.
Okay.
So they did some cool, good things.
At the end of the day, they were doing human testing on U.S. citizens.
No, it was on U.S. soldiers.
U.S. soldiers.
Yes, because this. So Whereas the point of MKUltra was to create a super soldier, create a super spy. So in that way, they couldn't be a soldier to begin with because that already had like uniformity conditioned into them. At Edgewood, their intentions were good in that they were testing these things on U.S. soldiers. The top 25% of U.S. soldiers were tested to try to prevent future chemical and psychedelic warfare.
The top?
Top 25%. They would take the top 25% of, like, the infantry, the troops.
They took our best?
They took our best.
And did tests on them.
Yeah.
That's, to me, it's crazy.
Up. Yeah, so they did. There was different levels of testing. Like, they bought, it's crazy, because the bottom 25% they would take to do weapon testing. And by weapon testing, that means something super nefarious, which basically means that they would, there's, I can't remember what it's called. I think it's called, like, BK-12, but there's some acid, and it's not like fun cool acid, it's acid that you put on your skin that would cut off every nerve ending you have. It you would just like you would feel like you were encased inside of your own body in just one drop on your arm. And so that was that. And then they did sarin gas testing and psychedelic testing on the top 25%. So sarin gas is, I don't know if you know anything about the cult Om Shinrikyo.
No, let's
but
hear it.
It's, well, it, that's a whole thing. But there was a cult in the 90s called in Japan called Om Shinrikyo that poisoned.
Oh, in the subway.
Yeah, where they poisoned thousands of people with sarin gas, which in its purest form can kill you. It will kill you within 15 seconds. They would take a small dose of sarin gas and test it on these top 25% of soldiers and see how they could eliminate the effects of it and see how quickly they worked. And it was horrifying. And then that's horrifying in a very tangible physical way. What I find the most disturbing is the psychedelic testing,
okay,
where they would.
So this testing is worse than the acid on your body. Like,
oh my god!
Oh my god!
I would choose that any day. I would choose sarin gas any day over what they did to these people because they broke them. Like a couple people who made it out, who survived these testings, went on to kill their entire families. Like they. You don't survive that. You don't mentally survive that kind of abuse.
And what were the tests that were being done?
They would, oh God. So just very base level, they would have something called gas chambers, which is really interesting to name something a gas chamber right when World War II ended. It's like,
yes.
Haven't you learned? So they would have these gas chambers where they would dose these, part of the top 25% of, the soldiers that, like, and these are smart soldiers, too. This is not just, like, the guns and the metal. These are, like, strategists and whatnot. And they would give them 100 times legal dose of LSD and just fucking see what happens. And they would do social experiments where they would take them. Oh, my God. You have to hear. I'll send it to you. There's audio. Because this is all documented as well. There's audio of one soldier who was, like, the sergeant of his class. And they gave him 100 times legal dose of LSD. And that you have, and this is not like you have, like, cool, chill people and you're, like, on a trip and it's really intense, but that's okay.
These you're not are going camping with your girlfriend.
Exactly. These are military officials screaming at your face, demanding you recite information and seeing how hard it is for you to do it. And so you're just being abused for hours and hours and hours. And the audio that I'm talking about, there's this poor guy who.
What's the name of the audio?
I have to find it and then send it to you.
Please, I'll upload it.
It's but you can find it. Like if you do Edgewood. Oh, there's a wonderful documentary called Trip to Edgewood that has real footage and real audio from the testing that they did both on animals and on humans. Because once they were done with animals, they were like, let's do it to humans.
Yeah, that's eventually where it goes, right?
So they're yelling at this guy. They're like saying. First of all, they say, how do you feel? And he can't answer the question. And so from that, they're like, great, let's make him do times tables. So they're like yelling at him to multiply and subtract and divide. And then they're like asking him all these strategic questions. And they're saying, I'm going to recite this to you. You have to recite it back to me. So it's basically like you're in an IQ test for hours after taking 100 times legal dose of LSD. And so that's like, that's tough, but that's not the worst of it. I think the worst thing that I've heard from these experiments was that they took 5 guys and one of them, they didn't dose at all. And then three of them, they dosed with 100 times legal limit. And then one of them, they dosed with like 250 times legal limit. And the guy that they decided to dose with that extreme amount was like 5'2". He was like a data analyst. Like, he was like not supposed to be there. And they set up, so keep in mind, one person is sober, but nobody knows what's going on with anybody else in the room. And they set up almost like a movie set. Like, they have pictures of it. You can see it. They set up like a movie set, like a panic room. And they were like, here's the problem. And if they don't tell them that this is fake, they're like, they blindfold them. They bring them to this spot. And they're like, you guys are the best we have, and if you don't solve this within 36 hours, everyone's going to die. And so they're all freaking the fuck out, and that you have this one, like, tiny man who's just, like, shaking back and forth, like, oh, my God, I see monsters. And then you see the effects on the sober person who starts to go insane, and the small guy is one of the people who killed himself and his whole family, like, 25 years after this. And,
oh, my God.
And it's just horrifying to hear the stories that come out of here, because it's they mess with people.
What is the purpose of that?
I get it. I get doing it for like 6 months. They did it from 1955 until 1977. What? It takes me 5 seconds to see somebody on LSD and be like, you're good for nothing.
Oh, I went to a concert. Everybody was on Molly. I'm like, okay, these kids are all fucked up.
Exactly.
Y'all look like melted candles.
Exactly. You're not going to get any information out of these people. You're not going to learn anything. And that's what kills me about it, too, is that they're not learning anything.
Yeah,
they're
so it's almost 20 years of just giving people acid.
Lab rats.
And nothing. Did we get it? I mean, we got the vest. We got a couple. But,
yeah,
like,
the vest.
The purpose of this is to just see how people react? Or can we use this as a weapon?
It started as a how do we protect our soldiers from this new weapon that is LSD? Because that's how they thought about it. They thought of it as a weapon. They thought that people were going to use it to dose our soldiers. They thought they're going to put it in our water supply, which turns out they did it to us. Like,
yes.
The government dosed our water supply in
with
Harlem
acid.
During MKUltra. They dosed an entire, oh my God, they dosed like 4 blocks of New York with acid.
What?
Yeah, and when? They did an entire, during MKUltra, during like 1940s.
Really?
Yeah, and they, France dosed an entire town.
With acid?
With acid. They put in the water supply. I think it was in like Harlem or something where we did it, where MKUltra did it. But yeah, so they're doing this shit for, well, first of all, it started out as like, how do we protect our soldiers? This is a new warfare. We're going to take the best we have because we know that they can take it. And then they were like, ooh, this is fun. And they just decided to
keep
going.
They just got bored. They got scientists. Weird.
They had their own Mangala. And I can't believe that I don't remember his name. It like is killing me. I think it starts with a CH or something. But it's like, it's killing me that I smoke way too much weed to remember this guy's name.
Mensa, what are you doing?
I'm trying to destroy my brain.
It's all right. Don't worry.
I'm trying to.
I have another super smart friend. She's like, I got in a car accident, knocked 20 IQ points off, and I'm much happier.
That's what I try to do, because I stay up all night just thinking about this stuff.
I love it.
So I need to.
I'll have you on all the time.
I'm glad to be here. I have a lot of things to say.
I would love it. I would love it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it breaks my heart, because you see these people, especially homeless people. That's why every time I see a homeless person, I'm going to give them a dollar. I don't care if people are like, they're just getting drugs. They just want alcohol. Good. Sedate these people, because most of them are products of our government in one way or another. Every time I see an older homeless man, I'm like, oh my God, you were in Edgewood. I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's what you think when you see a homeless guy?
For sure. I for sure think that. It's either like, oh my God, you have a psychological disorder and you don't have the money or resources to take care of it.
Or anybody in your life who cares.
Or anybody in your life who cares. Or I think like, okay, you were a product of our government and that's they did this to you.
Has anybody called in? Okay, so it's done. All right. I thought we'd take some calls. I find that so So they do the MK Ultra. We get a vest out of it.
Well, that's Edgewood. We get the vest.
We get the vest.
MK Ultra, we didn't get shit.
We didn't get nothing.
No.
And then now we have Area 51, and which is in Nevada?
Yeah.
We're in Nevada.
Area 51.
Is that what it's called?
Next to a town called Rachel, actually, which is my name. Yeah.
Have you ever gone there?
No, I don't want to do that.
Why?
Because I'm trying to, I'm bad at it because I go on podcasts and I have a entire YouTube channel almost dedicated to it, but I try to stay off as many grids as possible. I try to stay away from that kind of stuff because I already, my computer's been turned into a brick before. Like, I'm for sure on lists and I don't need to be
shot.
Oh,
I'm on a list for sure.
I don't need to, like,
be
hunted.
Do you think that they would shoot you?
I think that they would kill me.
Why?
But I also don't think I'm important enough to kill.
That's my whole thing.
Yeah, I don't think I'm important enough to kill or anything, but I definitely, like, my computer's been turned into a brick twice.
What do you mean by that?
Like, it, a page, like a, and people, like, when I say this, people are like, oh my God, that was just like a virus. I know the difference. Hi. But it's, my computer, like, had this thing that came up and that said, like, it was searching all my files. It was just going through all my files. And then my whole computer turned black. And I had to, like, take it. I had to, like, get a new computer the first time. And then the second time, I had to completely replace all my software. And this was, both of these times was when I was researching a video that I was doing for conspiracy theories. Well, one of them was for cults in general. But I was in the, in the moment, I was, I think that I was researching the masonry, the, like, the way that our cities are built and how that reflects a masonry genesis, basically. And both of those times, my computer was turned into a brick.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't feel a need to go. Like, if I had the opportunity when I was younger to take a path that would lead me to the government. And that was laid out very explicitly when I was brought into Mensa. That was laid out very explicitly
to me.
You
know what they say? A bunch of brainiacs that they if you play your cards right, you can go deep into the...
Basically, they were like, you need to take these aptitude tests. So I took aptitude tests that would, like, that would delegate me to the, like, part of the government that I should be working in, basically. And what I, at the time, I was so stupid. I was 15. Like, I didn't know. But it put me into a path that would basically be, like, strategist and researcher. And I was like,
right.
That's so lame. But now looking back on it, I'm like, oh, that doesn't mean what I think it means. I should have just done it. Because I would like to, I would like to be a part of it.
Be a part of the, just a shadow government?
Yeah, I would totally do that.
Well, maybe you should put that out there and they'll come get you.
I would abandon my whole family. No, I love my mom so much.
Would you? You would literally abandon your family because to be in the middle of this whole thing? Like when they go, listen, like with the whole thing when the CIA got busted,
yeah.
Like faking videos.
Sure.
And the guy's like, the guy in the video supposedly gets beheaded and they're like, it's a fake
Those
video.
Those are propaganda,
like,
videos. Yeah.
Yeah. The guy getting beheaded, there's a good chance he doesn't get to talk to his family ever again, right?
Oh, for sure.
He never talks to them again.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing about the, you know, like, the fake plane flying into the 9-11, that wasn't really the plane. Those people are either shot in the side dead or they're not there.
Yeah. You know, I have a hard time with 9-11 because I heard a very convincing theory, and I try.
That it really happened?
No. I try not to be a truther about 9/11 because so many lives are lost, and you just don't want to be disrespectful to other people's families.
Right.
So I totally respect that. But I did hear, oh God, there's this great theory because it's about Masonry.
All right.
So George W. Bush is part of, like, the obviously part of, like, the Mason Illuminati.
Yeah, I think he got in on a voucher.
Right. So there's an Aleister Crowley who I was talking about before, who was, like, deep into Satanism. So he was very close with Larry King.
Right.
Larry King is it. Do you know the...
You're saying Larry the King is the highest level of it.
Larry King is the worst person alive right now.
What? Oh, worse than Kissinger.
I would take...
I don't know. Dude, Aaron goes with anything, but you're going Larry King. Hi, Larry King here.
Larry King is...
He did bang his wife's sister, so that is pretty scumbag.
That's not the worst of it.
What is the worst that Larry King did?
Okay, so not... I can't
now
believe,
we're cooking with some serious gas.
I can't believe that this is so well buried that, like, I, as a 24-year-old woman, know this. Like,
I love that you're 24.
It's so dumb,
it's
I know.
It's so hot.
It's so dumb.
Into conspiracy theories and Latina, I'm in.
So, basically, Larry King, he, back in, like, the early 2000s, I think maybe late 90s, early 2000s, he's brought in on multiple charges of child sex, like, organizing child sex ring. So
Larry King.
Yes.
Hello, CNN.
There are horrifying stories about, there's this one girl when she was 14 years old, was made to go to his party, was sedated, sat on a couch, dressed like a Lolita, dressed like a little girl, sat on his couch, and his rules were, you can do anything you want with her, but you can't fuck her. And she had to just live the rest of her life just knowing that Larry King and all of his fucking minions just put their gross 70-year-old hands all over her tiny little boobs. It's really gross.
Is there any confirmation of this?
You can go back and look at court records.
Court records. Larry court King's records. Shady as fuck.
Larry King is the worst of them. And that's another thing that bothers me, is that they hide behind Satanism. They hide behind this idea of...
How deep is this shit?
It's the deepest that you can ever imagine. It is what we are based on.
I'm going to throw out names. You tell me if they're Satanists.
Satanists... See, that's hard because they call themselves Satanists to excuse their horrifying behavior.
Call them scumbags?
They're Masons.
Masons.
They're Masons. This is what the closest to... Illuminati is fake. This is the closest to
there's
what
there's no
you could
such
consider,
thing as Illuminati.
But there's factions that you could consider that would
Skull and Crossbones, they're Masons?
Masons, exactly.
Is Obama a Mason?
I don't think so. I think he's a puppet.
You think he's like the Manchurian candidate?
I think he's our hope puppet. And I think his exact foil we're seeing now.
Would you say he's the Wayne Brady of politics?
I really hope not.
In that he's like, he was just this lovable black guy that got, like, we are so over white dudes who are like, we got to get somebody in different. Like, we got to get them change without them seeing change.
I mean, he is a well-bred beacon of hope. He is a well-calculated beacon of hope.
I watched him last week.
Yeah.
I know you don't want to get into the Russian hacks because you think it's all distraction, and I do think it's bullshit. But I watched him literally just lie to the country.
Yeah.
And I couldn't. My girlfriend was laying down, and I was like, oh, my God.
But that's the most honest thing he's ever done.
She's like, what? I go, he's lying to the country.
Mm-hmm.
Like, bold-faced lie. And I couldn't believe when I was shocked. Because everything is controlled. Everything mm-hmm. is done. You know that San Bernardino shooting? I've talked about this before. I watched the story change.
Yeah.
I watched the story change from four white men in black fatigue,
mm-hmm.
military fatigue, walking through shooting everybody,
mm-hmm.
to this Islamic couple shot up everything.
It's rhetoric. I mean, because we see glimpses of truth, and then it turns into something much, much darker.
Well, you
which
know,
is...
when I got into the... finish your sentence.
I don't even know what I was saying. I'm sure it wasn't important.
The Boston massacre, the Boston bombing is a super tragic thing. But there are pictures of, like, white men in black fatigue hanging out in groups and, like, shady-ass shit going on and, like, a backpack that one kid's carrying does look like the backpack that's one that explodes. I mean, like, there's crazy stuff going on. And now you got this Mark Wahlberg movie.
yeah. No, I believe nothing. I just...
What? The fact that Mark Wahlberg's like running around going, America! America! And I put that out like, can't wait to see Mark Wahlberg's propaganda movie. Someone goes, are you talking about the Boston Marathon? And I'm like, okay.
I'm so scared because, like, I know I'm going to get so much shit, but, like, it just, I can't even pretend to fake to believe this rhetoric. Like, I can't. I don't have it in me. I don't have a poker face. I can't hear something like this and see something like this. And I got into such a bad argument with my parents the other day because they were Jewish, and they were talking about this movie they saw that was, like, deeply Zionist, talking about the IDF and all this stuff. And I didn't say anything about Zionism. I didn't say anything about Israel. I didn't say anything about whatever. All I said was, I would implore you to consider your source, because there's a... The fakest thing in the world is a documentary.
Yeah.
You're always in the pocket of somebody. All I'm saying is I would implore you.
Are your parents extremely smart too?
My parents are very smart, but they're not, like, they don't want to hear it. They're of the mind of, like, it's just, Rachel, it's just easier. Like, just, it's okay.
That's 100% correct.
Yeah. And
it is easier.
It is. It's so, no, it's so much easier, but it's so much more fun.
Oh, that's my whole thing. I love all the crazy conspiracies out there.
But that's because it informs the type of person that you become. And, like, I am a more interesting, a more, like, expressive, and I do what I want because I know it doesn't matter.
Right, 100%.
Like, all the time do exactly what I want to do because I know that nothing matters, and that there's a freedom in that.
There is.
So, like, which is why I practice chaos magic, because, like,
involved in chaos magic? How do you practice it? What is involved in it?
So it's just,
like, do you guys play card games? Like,
no,
is
card
there
games.
Like,
it's a very, it's a
chance?
Very, it's a very personal experience.
Okay.
The way that I like to practice chaos magic is I've been studying chaos magic for about a year, but I still know nothing. I know nothing. And, like, if I even began to try to explain it,
so you're
that,
like a white belt in karate right
now. I'm like a yellow belt.
You're like a yellow
I'm
belt.
Like, I'm up to the masturbation sigils, but I, like, haven't.
You have to masturbate in it a lot?
There's a power of intention. There's a power of, like, release of energy that.
Do you need any friends to help you?
That's so nice of you. Yeah. But, like, sigils are a very personal experience.
Okay.
But, no, there's, like, that's the, like, and that's, it's informed my ideas about sex a lot, too, is because it's the release of energy, and with that release of energy,
right.
You can set your intention out, because
right.
That's when you're, like, the most vulnerable, and that's when you're the most likely to manifest the things that you want for yourself.
Right.
So, like, I create sigils. So
what are those?
Basically, you say your intention. So, like, let's say my intention is I want to be more respectful of other people's perspectives, even though I don't believe them.
Okay.
So I would write that sentence down. You cross out all the vowels and you cross out all the repeating consonants. And then from the remaining letters, you deconstruct the letters and you create a symbol. And once you've created that symbol, you've manifested it, it's tangible, you no longer can dwell on it or think about it because there's a physical representation that you carry with you, and you can look
so you
at it.
You get rid of the vowels, and you get rid of the
repeating consonants, so
okay.
You're just left with a few T's and some
yeah,
X's
and you design your own little, like...
Yeah.
Like
and then,
arts and crafts style?
Yeah.
I'm down with
that. I'll show you one. And then... So you do this, and that's just like a normal sigil. You carry it with you. Don't think about it. You just put it in your pocket. Put it like
right.
I have a sigil that I can't tell you what it's about because or else it wouldn't work.
Okay. Oh, so you can't tell your friends about your sigil?
No, it's like a birthday wish. You got to keep it. Got to keep it secret. Got to
really?
Keep it safe.
Really?
Because it's because once you can never speak it again. Once you've created that sigil, you can never speak those words again because you've created a perfect thought. So you can only create a sigil, you can only write down your intention once you've marinated in that thought for it could be I one time created a sigil after I was like marinating in an intention for like 6 months or 20 minutes. It depends on how deep that need is. So like if it's super deep and you really need to understand why you need this thing and you need to understand what tools you have to create this thing, to create reality from it. Once you fully understand that, then you can put it down onto paper. And once you put it down onto paper, you've created it.
How do you know when you've got enough of it?
What do you mean?
How do you know when you understand enough to create the sigil?
It's personal. It's once you truly feel, you have to be honest with yourself and say, like, I understand why I need this. I understand what in my tangible life, what I can do to create an environment that will allow this intention to become reality.
What? Let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you go 6 months? What happened at month six that you're like,
ah,
oh,
snaps? I just because I was marinating it. It was something that I like. It was a problem, and I'm. It's good now. Like it's better now, and it's a process. But it was a problem that I had struggled with my entire life. It was a personality thing. It was something that like I would always hold back from other people, and like I can talk about it now because I've already manifested that
right.
sigil. Like
right.
I don't carry that sigil
right.
with me anymore.
I got it.
Because I'm living that sigil.
Yes.
I am a living representation of that sigil.
Okay, interesting.
So basically, I kept like all this stuff I kept inside of me because I was trying to become like a corporate version of myself. I was trying to acquiesce to society. Once I stopped doing that is when my success came.
You know, I find that so interesting because I've been doing that as well. Even this podcast, even though I only did one episode of it, I felt like there was a real, like, hey, dude, I really like that. And, you know, I know, you know, I've had some great guests on it, and I want to keep doing it. And it's just like, I, you know, in comedy, do you do stand-up? Are
no.
you stand-up? You were just hanging out at the comedy store?
That scares me. I don't like, yeah.
Well, there's
I was doing a wrestling podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a real push to assimilate in comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's deep. Everybody's in on it. And it's like, whether they mean it or not, they try to get rid of people
mm-hmm.
who don't do it the way they do it. So what you have to do is get so big they can't get rid of you, and that they got to be like, well, it's him. It's how he does it. A great example is a wonderful comedy club is a Comedy Magic Club. They're wonderful people. The food is great. It's a wonderful town. But they are a clean comedy club, unless you're humongous.
Mm-hmm.
When you're huge, you can just do whatever you want there, and it's just the way it goes, and that's fine. But that's pretty much where it goes. So if you don't play ball,
right,
you have to get so – it's almost like they'll fuck you until you can fuck them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like – so part of me, even though I'm much older than you, I go through this, you know, this thing.
27.
Yeah. I lived a hard life.
Gross.
You know, I just went, you know, you don't, hey, listen, you have your freedoms to do these swiggles, okay?
Sigils,
because I went out there and fought some bad people out there.
Yo, you were in the war?
In the war.
Cool.
Can't tell you the name, but just know you're free because of it.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
Thanks.
No problem. But, it's just like you see people getting pushed out because they don't play the ball and they don't do the fun, festive stuff that people, and you see it with political correctness. I know you work on a YouTube channel that features women, and I very mm-hmm. much love that. But I also see there's a little backlash against men, too, going on right now who didn't do anything, you know, and that's a whole different podcast. But I what you said there really resonated with me.
Yeah.
That, you know, that it's okay just to be different with who you are. And I tell people like that a lot.
Well, that's a pillar of Satanism. Once you allow yourself to feel pleasure, then the rest of your life will fall into that category. The rest of your life will become pleasurable. Once I allowed myself to be myself and stop apologizing for things that maybe some other people would consider wrong or bad, which I do many things that people would consider wrong or bad, once you stop caring about that, and start feeling pleasure in it and knowing that you're not harming anybody and knowing that you're only expressing love and you're like only expressing goodness.
How do you rebrand it? Then we got to wrap it up. How do you rebrand this went so fast, right? It's an hour almost, right? Or is it an hour?
We're at 56.
Ooh,
holy shit, right?
Wow.
That really flew.
Yeah, I told you.
That's it flies when you're having fun, and it's something I could talk about forever. And
I didn't even get to tell you about masturbation sigils.
Can we do 2 seconds of masturbation sigils? He's a married man. He'd love to hear it from a
you
20-year-old.
You want to hear about masturbation sigils?
Yes, of course.
Oh, they're
Let's
amazing.
End on a pop.
Okay, here's a masturbation sigil. You create a sigil just like I told you about before, and you place it, you put it in a place where you can see it and touch yourself.
Okay.
And so, like, here and you're here generally because you don't want to creak your head or like
right.
hurt your neck or anything
right.
so
right.
in front of you on like on your ceiling. I always put them on my ceilings because that's easiest. And you don't use porn, you don't use anything, you don't think about fucking, you just look at the sigil and you start to like fuck yourself, you
right.
jack off.
Okay.
And you like,
what do you call it, diddling?
I don't
finger
call
blasting?
It that no I don't call it this I call tough? It masturbating.
It's called masturbating.
It's called masturbating.
Okay, I'm
a grown ass woman.
I respect that.
It's masturbating.
But you did call it jacking off
for you.
Guys. For you, it's a delicate masturbation. For
guys,
me, it's
I've seen
power fucking.
I've seen guys jack off, and it's like very silly when a woman masturbates.
I feel there's a lot of candles and
it's
yawning.
Different. Definitely incense in my place. But yeah, so you masturbate until like you start to see this sigil and it's like burned into your eyeballs, and so you're just staring at this, you're not thinking about it. You have to do your very best not to think about anything that is physical and tangible, and you're just thinking about this sigil
space.
Until you come, and then you have to open your eyes, you have to see the sigil when you're coming, because that's when the energy is expressed from you.
That does make sense to me.
Yeah, and then it becomes a powerful symbol of intention and light.
I would love to watch sometimes you work so I know what to do.
That's really cool of you.
I would like to
I've always wanted to be a teacher.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll just sit in the corner quietly trying to make my own sigil, figuring it
Maybe
out.
Maybe I'll install bleacher seats in my room.
Perfect. I'll bring pom-poms.
Cool. Could you just hold the sigil for me?
Yeah.
Because it's really hard. It's really difficult to tape it to the ceiling. I have to, like, jump on my bed.
I'll be like a boom man, a boom mic guy just above you holding it.
My roommate's is, like, really tall dude.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's perfect.
There we go.
Yeah. My roommate's is really tall dude, and I make him put my masturbation sigils on my ceiling for me, and he's like, you know how weird this is, right?
I don't
like,
think it's weird.
Let me express myself.
Yeah. But then he's got to leave.
Yeah, he has to leave.
That's the hard part.
It's tough.
All right. Well, this was an excellent. We got into a lot of stuff. I want to take phone calls, but we didn't turn on the Skype. That will be for another time. Where can they find you on social media?
Social media. You can find me at Rachel Sam Evans on Instagram and Twitter. My DMs are open. I'm kidding. I'm not kidding, but okay.
So what do you look? Dick pics?
People send me so many dick pics.
Do you like them?
I love it.
Do you love dick pics? By the way, I mean, my fans, we have another podcast. We have a Fight Nanny on it. Dick pics for day. She just gets bombarded with dick pics.
I love it.
Why do you like it?
Because I think it's so fun. I like that. Like, it does. I'm not going to fuck you. Like,
you never say never.
Never say never for sure. I don't have, like, boyfriends, but one of the last guys that I was, like, kind of seeing, we met because he DM'd me on Twitter.
Oh, look at that. So you have a shot out there.
He was also a professional.
Your YouTube, what?
Never mind. That was bad.
What was your YouTube channel again?
It's Snarled.
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 All right.
Yeah.
Well, you were excellent. I'd love to have you on here again. I don't know what I'm going to do again. Maybe you could co-host once in a while when you
sure.
got nothing going on and you're not snarling.
And I'm not masturbate sigiling.
No, maybe you could just come and masturbate while we talk about it.
Okay, cool.
I'm just trying to get ambiance going.
That's really sweet. I'll bring my candles.
I'm going to look into Satanism.
Do it.
I'm going to start looking.
I'm here to help you.
What book should I read?
I'll give you books.
Okay.
Anything by Anthony LaVey.
Does it say Satanism? Because I want my girlfriend to be like, what the fuck?
It does say satanic rituals in the Book of Satan, yes.
Okay. I got to figure that out.
Secret.
I used to hide porn from my girl. Now I'm hiding books I want to read.
Well.
We get weird when we get old. Thank you so much, guys. Real quick, just one more time, I want to thank Andrew Robinson from Tread Lightly. They're a band out of Ontario, Canada. Go to facebook.com/TreadLightlyBand. Their album's out, Out of Season. It's on iTunes and Spotify. Listen to it, man. I love the song. I would like to play more. I got to cut it down to about 20 seconds, but it was great. Rachel, you were awesome. I'm infatuated with you. I love your style. Aaron, I know your head was blown, and you know, you're just going to have to deal with it, all right? Because there's fucking shadow people out there. Thank you to all the lizard people who listened. We're not going to stop. We're going to keep rocking, and hopefully this audio will come out. If not, it'll be on YouTube. So we're good on YouTube?
Yeah.
All right, cool. What's that? All right, perfect. All right, guys, you were great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.